Welcome to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah, the podcast where we look at biblical truths to answer the pressing questions we encounter every day surrounding cultural issues. We are your hosts, Sarah Cherney and Judge Phil Ginn. In today's society, the sanctity of marriage is often disregarded and divorce is treated as a casual solution to marital problems. However, as Christians, we're called to uphold the sacred covenant of marriage and to seek God's guidance in navigating the challenges that arise within that union. The prominent billboard in South Carolina and in North Carolina as we travel along the highway that proclaims, "Life is short, get a divorce," it's a stark reminder of the world's misguided perspective on this critical and sacred institution. In this episode, we're going to talk about and explore the biblical passages that guide our understanding of marriage and divorce and provide a Christian response to what I would say what is a completely controversial message. Let's get started.
Well, you know, it's interesting because my wife and I drive this I-77 from time to time, and we go by that billboard, and I always try to direct her attention away from it so she won't get any ideas. But it is serious that the world has this vision of marriage as being something that is certainly not sacred and really can be discarded or used or utilized or thrown out in any way and can be manipulated to fit whatever sin that may be in our lives. So let's start at the very basics, Sarah. What is a biblical definition of marriage, and why should we as Christians consider this contractual relationship between a man and a woman so sacred?
Well, I think we should start with the definition of marriage that God gave us, since He is the author and finisher of everything. So it says in Genesis 2:24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So this verse really outlines what God's expectation is between a man and a woman coming together in marriage. It's more than just a contract. It's actually something much more substantial than that. When they become two, become one, they become one flesh. And there's such beauty in that, but also, you know, the element of team that takes place, because God also told us that, you know, the family unit, He showed us through His word that the family unit is where we train the next generation to become leaders, to take on moving our culture and our systems forward. And so when you look at the cultural and historical context of that, you know, it was more than just a commitment by law. It was a commitment of the heart. It was a commitment to each other that in the truest sense. And God even used that as an example to show, you know, Christ's commitment to the church, that commitment, that unity, that, you know, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And so, you know, what does that mean for us as we consider, you know, the realm of marriage as we move forward? Because statistically, when you take a look at what some of the research shows us, 64% of Christians in the U.S. believe that in traditional marriage between a man and a woman defined by the Bible. That leaves a very large number who don't believe that to be the case.
Over a third.
Right. And would look at that billboard and think, "Oh, that's my way out." You know, so on that note, when you think about that, Judge, you know, what does the Bible teach us about divorce? And is divorce permissible in any circumstances?
Well, I don't think there's anything in the scripture that would require somebody to stay in a marriage, for instance, where certainly Jesus said sexual immorality was involved. I think one of the things that would be clear is if there's abuse of some sort, form, or fashion involved, we're not required to do that. Paul even talks about relationships where an unbelieving spouse leaves a believing spouse because of their beliefs. So there's lots of reasons, I guess, for divorces that are permissible in Scripture. But I think that one of the things that we miss in this is that folks begin to look for a way out to begin with, regardless of their circumstances, whether it's permissible or not permissible. And we as Christians ought to have a really high view of marriage. Just the same as we have a high view of Scripture, we ought to have a high view of this union, because that's what Paul did in Ephesians 5. He describes the relationship of Christ and His church and uses marriage as an example of that. Mm-hmm. I tell folks all along that, you know, in a legal sense, entering into a marriage between a man and a woman is nothing more than a contract. It is a legal contract that each one has promises that they make, and they receive benefits from the promises that they make in terms of coming together in a contractual form. And each one of those promises that are given and received creates a duty. But if that's the only thing that holds us together, we as human beings are fallible, and quite honestly, my duty sometimes doesn't get carried out the way that it should be. But we as Christians understand that there is really two extra things in a marriage that sometimes the world doesn't understand. And the first is this concept of love. If Lynn and myself are tied together by legal promises, that's one thing. But if we have this love, human love, and by the way, when the Bible describes the love between a man and a woman, they always uses the Greek word agape, which is God's love. Mm-hmm. So we're to have God's love one to the other. And so that means that I act toward my wife in a way to promote her spiritual relationship with Christ. Mm. And when you add that mixture in there, plus this God-ordained family, it puts an extra couple of layers in a Christian marriage that should hold that marriage together in a way that the world would not potentially understand.
I also think, if you want to look at it from a worldly perspective, even outside of a biblical perspective, I think it's important to take a look at that, because that's what allows marriage to dissolve and fall apart easily. But there's benefits. There's financial benefits. There's family benefits. There's two coming together, working together. You can see that. Look, if you look statistically, my background, I have a master's in criminology. So if you take a look at statistically, the number one reason for poverty is single mothers. If you take a look at most people who are incarcerated for criminal activity, it is because of single parent families. Now, this is, of course, not all people. Many people are able to grow up in single parent families and make that work. But if you look at the statistics and you look at the hurt that takes place when a family breaks apart, you can see that you have to tie and correlate to the fact that single parent families, the breaking apart of the family unit, has detriment to many people. There's what they call daddy wounds. There's so many young adults who are incarcerated, who don't have a father. They are not learning what it means to become a man in society. Take a look at what's taken place just recently with the attempted assassination on the president. I believe, because of DE&I, they had a woman protecting the president. She's not even able to stand up to his shoulder. I mean, where did it come about that it's okay for women to be protecting the president? We have so reversed so many things on its head. I'm a very, opinionated person who has ideas about different things. I actually applied to be in the Secret Service, but I never intended to do that to be protecting a man. There's other things that happen in that law enforcement arena that women could do. But protection just seems a little bit crazy in this regards. We flipped things upside down on their head, and we've actually put people in danger because of it. And I know this may sound controversial, but I think the point of this podcast is to bring about topics that need to be spoken and need to be said. So let's get back to, what is the role of women? What is the role of a woman and a man in a marriage? And how can Christian couples, when they come together, navigate marital challenges which may take place?
Well, in speaking to one particular issue that you raised there, our society is very keen on privilege during this time. And there is one real privilege in our whole society that sets people up for success. And that is coming from a family that has a father and a mother who not only love their children, but love each other and ultimately love Christ, because that child who comes out of that home has a great opportunity for success that is not available to a child who comes up sometimes in a single parent situation. And God love single moms. They're out here every day trying to do that, but they're working under a circumstances which are not the best. And I think each one of them would tell you that as they come up. It's difficult to be a single mom and raise a family. And, not only you're talking about teaching young men how to be men, but a good father will teach his daughter how a man and a woman ought to relate to one another in a very positive way as well. So there's so much that comes from a family situation, a family dynamic where parents are in line together and then are lined up with God. My daughters used to come and talk to me, and they would want to know, do you love me the best? And my response was always, no, I love your mother more. And when they were small, they didn't understand that sometimes. But now they've come back to me after all these years, and they say, you know, Dad, I understand now that you loving mother more than anything else in our family actually made a great home for us. And now I understand how to relate to my husband because of that.
Well, I think there's so many benefits to ordering our life the way that God has designed. And I think in our world, you know, everything is sort of upside down. What's considered wrong is right, and what is truly right is considered wrong. Even talking about, you know, the role of men and women in a marriage can seem controversial where it shouldn't be. Even talking about the fact that God designed the family unit to be a man and a woman, that is even considered controversial and can be considered, you know, detrimental in just public, polite conversation. But the truth is that when we don't listen to the truth, when we don't understand the truth, when we don't apply the truth to our life, it produces detrimental consequences. And I think any sane person can see that by looking at what's taking place even in our own nation, especially when it comes to what's happening with single-parent familyhood, the consequences of that, especially I think the poorest statistically would be a single Black mother. That's statistically what's happening in America. And so
And Dr. Carson would agree with you,
right,
on that point.
Right. And the chances that we have, I mean, when you take a look at that, it's challenging and difficult. But it does, for anyone who is in a family, who's a mom, I'm a mom, I have two children, my husband and I have been married we'll be celebrating 26 years this year. The challenges are difficult. I mean, we had two. I mean, I had one hand for each one. You know, having three or four as you, I mean, that's like having a whole, you know, football team. I just couldn't do that. So the challenges are already exist when you have a mom and a dad in a home.
You know, going back to the billboard, it says life is short, get a divorce. I think there's an alternative for Christians that maybe we ought to get our billboard. It says life is short. Make good decisions when you get married to
Amen.
Begin with, and then make good decisions in making that marriage work for the benefit of each other. There's nothing more important to me in my life than the relationship that I have with my wife. And certainly, I think it's been beneficial to my daughters to see that marriage work now for 45 years. But it's been hard work. It's not something that you just do in one time and forget. It's an everyday situation. So that really brings us to the end of this episode. We could talk for hours about this, but you know, it's important for us as Christians to understand and have a high view of marriage, to understand that this wedding band causes us to have a little higher obligation, not only to our culture, but to our spouses, and ultimately to the Lord himself, because he's given us this institution of a family, and it's so important. So as we come to the end of this episode of Everyday Truth, we just are in prayer that you and your family will understand the fullness of God's love within the framework of your family, that your children will be raised in a manner that's pleasing to God. Thank you for listening to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah. As always, stay informed, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay steadfast in the truth.